they're just thoughts. It doesn't mean that that's the truth. No. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them. It, you know, doesn't mean we have to partner with them.
Mm.
And the whole notion of recognizing and being aware when you're having a thought that's not helping you and it's not resourceful, that we have choice.
We're Kath and Ali. Welcome to our podcast, Brave, Strong, and Fulfilled.
Join us as we share all things real life and the lessons we've learned along the way. We hope that our conversations inspire, challenge, and encourage you on your own life journey. Enjoy today's episode. So, Catherine, the other day I was driving home after dropping the kids to school, and it was super exciting because I had the whole day to myself.
Oh, aren't those days just the best, hey? Every now and again, a day to yourself.
I know. There was nobody home. Hubby was at his work. My daughter was at work. And I was thinking on the way home, what am I going to do? Like, what jobs for my business do I want to tick off, basically?
Yeah.
And I remembered that I would love to go back over a project that I started last school holidays. So last school holidays, I have written my very first book.
Yes, I remember you sharing that. Very exciting. And yeah. I can't wait to hear how the process is going. How is it going, Abby?
Well, it's good. So I'm at that place where, like, I've written it, I have shared it with a couple of people, and my husband has it for editing, but he's very busy, right? So he hasn't, he's great with grammar and just, and writing and flair and spelling. So he's going to be my editor. But I thought on my way
home.
That's scary. And I thought, I'll have another read of it today. I'll go through it and just see how I think it is, you know.
Yeah. So when last did you go through it?
Oh, like, I don't know. It was weeks ago over the holidays. Yeah. So what are we now at school? I don't know, something like week 7 or 8. So
yeah,
weeks ago.
Yeah. And sometimes that's really good to do, you know, in a project, put it down and then you come back to it with fresh eyes and you can feel what somebody with fresh eyes, you know, will see when they read your book. So, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, so I thought I would go home, I would do that. So I started to be a little bit excited and had all of those emotions thinking, oh, yay, go me, I'm going to go home and read through my book. But do you know, within a second – my mind went from, yay, how exciting, I've written a book, I'm going to go home and read it, to what's so good about my book, it's probably not any good anyway. There's so many books out on the market that are way better than mine. Why is anyone going to read my book? So then I went from this moment of feeling super proud of myself and super excited to comparing myself to other books that are out there, other authors that, of course, you know, how can I compare myself to a seasoned author, you know? And then so I went to this complete space of feeling defeat. And it was just absolutely fascinating for me. And that quote, that it came to mind almost instantly. What is it? Comparison is the thief of joy. So yeah. And I pondered that and I thought, you know what? It's not just the thief of joy, because I went from being super proud and super excited to completely defeated and maybe not bothering to read my book again, to realizing it was stealing my confidence, because instantly it wasn't going to be a great book.
Yes.
And taking away the creativity because I'm comparing myself to other great books. I thought, wow, amazing. All within, I mean, how quickly do we talk to ourselves? So,
Ali, I think what you're sharing is just, it's real. I think it's real for a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And I think most of us listening can relate to what you've just shared and being in a, you know, circumstance where that exact thing has happened to us. And it's so amazing how quickly we can spiral down, isn't it?
Oh, I was fascinated at how quickly. So this was all in a space of 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ali, what did you do next?
Well, I have recognized that this is something that I probably have battled. This style of thinking, this way of comparing myself has raised its head time and time again. So even, you know, when I think about the ultra marathon that I did, the moment I looked at all of the other competitors, And I thought, oh, wow, look at what they're wearing. They look way sportier than me. They've got all the expensive equipment. They must be better than me. And who am I then to try and run this 100 kilometer? So it instantly would take my confidence. So I noticed that as soon as it happened, I thought, wow, Al, you're still doing this spiraling. You're still, your thoughts are still taking over. So I stopped it there. I did go home and start reading about comparison, and I had a look at a couple of different quotes and just thought, you know what? It really does steal our creativity. It steals all of those things, but today I'm not going to let it.
Fantastic.
So I didn't. I went home and I read my little, you know, my book, and not all of it, because I had, you know, other things came up, but I didn't allow it any more time in my mind.
And that's the thing, you know, I think to remind ourselves that because these thoughts come sort of just unexpectedly, and you know, our thoughts kind of seem to have a mind on their own, and these thoughts just appear. Just because we have these thoughts, they're just thoughts. It doesn't mean that that's the truth. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them. It doesn't mean we have to partner with them. And the whole notion of recognizing and being aware when you're having a thought that's not helping you and it's not resourceful, that we have choice. And, you know, just like you said, you chose to almost capture that thought and stop the thought and have a better thought, or choose a better thought, is, you know, I think it's something that I know I can certainly, you know, be reminded of.
And I honestly thought, like, I probably gave myself a talking to, which doesn't always, that's not helpful too sometimes. You know, because then I'm starting to judge myself and tell myself off. But I did start that as well. I was like, come on, Al, you're 45. Seriously, how are we still having these same negative conversations with yourself and allowing things to steal your, you know, your joy and all of that?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, listening to you share there, I'm just reminded, you know, just a little bit of the neuroscience behind all of this. I think a lot of our default thinking, and this is what it is, you know, it's default thinking, comes from our childhood and comes back from years and years and years of thinking in a certain way. And I think for many of us, and no fault of anyone, you know, it's not any specific, you know, parents' fault or teachers' fault or friends' fault or whatever. I think it's just a collective of the world we live in and how we, you know, grow up. I think there's so many opportunities for comparison. And I think we, right from little, tend to go down this road of comparing and competing, you know, with others. And look, there is such a thing as healthy competition. I absolutely believe in that. However, the comparing ourselves with others, it's almost like such a natural thing to do because it's so pervasive in our world. And so I think, of course, it's tricky to catch those thoughts and to choose a different thought, because choosing to not compare, that's not the default.
It's not the default at all. Wouldn't it be nice if we naturally did that?
And the good news is that, you know, even though it takes effort and awareness and work, we can practice a new way of thinking. And, you know, we can practice to a point where we almost, there's a tendency towards defaulting to something different and something more positive. And it is, it's that whole notion. And I think, you know, that as with most things, the earlier on in the piece we catch those thoughts. You know, I'm just listening to your story is so encouraging that, yes, you spiraled down, you know, 5 minutes later you were sort of full of despair, but you didn't camp out there for hours and hours and it didn't mess up your whole day. You recognized it pretty quickly, and pretty quickly you realized that you have choice in what you're going to focus on and the story you're going to, you know, tell yourself, or the self-talk you're going to have. And so I think if we can catch it quickly, we're more likely to be able to swing it around to something more resourceful. And we also just, you know, to encourage everyone, this is not about suddenly switching to, ultra positivity or, you know, something that's also not real and not true and trying to be false about anything. But, you know, in all circumstances, there's more than one truth.
That's right.
And the truth is that, yes, maybe there are other authors that are seasoned and have had way more experience. You know, that's true.
Absolutely true.
But what else is true? And in your case, so in your case, you know, so do you want to share with us what else is true for you in this case?
Sure. I guess in this case, I do have a story to tell.
Yeah.
I have lessons that were on my heart that I feel like could encourage other people. And I guess and I guess that makes you sort of question things as well. So it's already a vulnerable space. I think anything in the arts, right? So you're putting even this podcast, to be fair, we're being vulnerable in our conversations within anything in the arts. So if you're painting a picture, you know, my daughter is quite arty and anytime she puts something to paper, she's critiquing it. She's also then looking at it through the eyes of other people and then comparing it to all of the great artists. You know, I've got children who are musicians. They could compare themselves endlessly to other musicians who are perhaps better or in their eyes than them. And yeah, there are people who've got a really great story to tell, but I still do have a story to tell. And I think that's what I come back to, that there is a story. I did learn something. And if that lesson or those little lessons can encourage anybody else, really that's the purpose of it.
Absolutely. I just love that. And I think, you know, that comes right back down to, you know, why we even doing this podcast and doing what we're doing. It's it's not to be better than anybody else. It's not to,
you know. What are you saying? We're not better than everybody else?
But you know, like, so we're here because we want to encourage and uplift people. And we're here also because this encourages and uplifts the both of us. You know, we've said that over and over. And I think, you know, there's also something to be said about being imperfect.
Yeah, true. There is something to be said about being imperfect and being real. And like, for example, that podcast I did with Amanda, the artist, a few weeks ago, and I made this huge error in my language and just, I don't know, my brain was not connected to my mouth. And I so badly did not want to put it out there because I was like, oh, and you're like, Al, it's, we're not perfect. We're not perfect people. Our podcast is about being real. And when we're real, we're giving permission for everybody else to be real.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And so, you know, back to your, I just love that you have been vulnerable today and you have shared, you know, that story. And it's that whole thing also of stepping out. And when you tell people that you're in coaching, you know, that you're a life coach, it's this assumption that you've got it all together, you know, and it's the assumption that you don't have those default negative, you know, thoughts. And at the end of the day, we're still human. We absolutely do. And, you know, we've just learned strategies, to overcome, and sometimes we also need help, you know. So I think so your book, I'm really excited to know that you're, you know, you're still proceeding and going ahead. And so just for this episode, do you want to share a little bit about you know, what your book is about so people can start getting excited as well about its imminent release?
So it's a compilation of, there's 12 little, lessons. So through the time that I had with our dog Theodore that I've talked about already on the podcast, everyone's going to think I'm just this crazy dog lady, which I probably am. Not really, but he was a really special character for our family, and I spent a lot of time with him. And on our wanderings, whether we were out walking or just having him by my side around the house or whatever, lots of little lessons came up, and it's all around embracing, I guess, embracing life. And so there's these 12 little lessons, and they've got a little story about something that had happened, whether it was his stubborn behavior or yeah, there's usually him being stubborn and silly. But then it made me think about life. And yeah. So then I would think about it, and I had written some little journals about it, and they were all in my phone. And I thought, I had shared a few of them on social media, but not that many. And I thought, I'm going to write them properly. So I wrote them all out properly, and I thought, this really is a book that people can use as a journal, and you could go through it, you know, one lesson a week or something, and pull it apart. And it's going to have some, well, it does have, because I've already written it. It's got probing questions to think about for yourself and how to apply those lessons to yourself. And then an encouragement at the end to go out and find our own lessons in nature by looking at, you know, whether it's by going to the beach or just through our children or just looking to for the lessons that are already in our world. Like if we stop and take a moment and are grateful and have eyes to see. I guess it's kind of like a journal.
I just love that you are willing to also, it takes vulnerability, as you said, to share that with others. And I love that, you know, Theodore, I met him a few times. So if you're listening, Theodore was a beautiful, beautiful, big Saint Bernard. Mm-hmm. Yes. And just, you know, full of life. And I just love that, you know, on the topic of today, that a character like Theodore was not worried about comparing himself with anybody else. And, you know, a lot of his embracing life was because there weren't any of these comparisons or, you know.
And that's part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
He owned everywhere. There's one story about, I can't think of what I titled the chapter right now, but he would just walk down the street, tail head high, thinking he owned the whole street. And I thought, wow, imagine if I walked around with that amount of confidence. That would change my life.
yeah. So, Ellie, someone out there listening who struggles similarly with this, you know, they're aware that their default thinking goes towards comparison and, you know, which is a downward spiral to feeling like we're not enough and we don't measure up. What encouragement do you have, or and there's anything you'd like to share that might be helpful?
Yeah, that's a good big sort of question. I remember when I went home and was looking about what comparison is, and I sort of was just doing a bit of research on and looking at quotes and all that sort of stuff, and there was a positive one that stood out, and it said, "We won't be distracted by comparison if we're captivated by purpose."
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so powerful.
And when you asked me before, what did I go home and do? I went back through and I looked at my book and I remembered, I guess, why I had written it. I did have a story to share. So the moment I realized I had something to share, that there was a purpose to what I was doing, I was able to stop the spiral. So I feel like if comparison can steal our happiness, it can steal so much from us. The opposite of that really is living our life on purpose, and we need to know our purpose.
Yeah.
So if I'd forgotten what my purpose was with that book, I could have easily camped there because, the writing isn't probably as good as somebody else. Yeah.
I just love that reminder. And again, it's that whole notion that it's much easier to swap something out than just to, you know, stop something. So just to sort of try and stop comparison without having anything else to replace it with is really difficult. So, you know, and it's this whole notion as well of whatever we focus on, we'll get more of. Yeah. And if we're focusing on comparing ourselves with others, we're going to just, you know, feel more defeated.
Give but up.
If
we, go home.
If we, you know, focus and choose to focus on our purpose, another focus point, which often aligns so well with our purpose, is our values. You know, choose to focus on what's important. And I think our values often kind of lead us towards purpose, you know, our purpose. Yeah. And you're right. You know, if we can choose to focus on those, and it's a choice what we focus on, then we don't even have to try and not worry about comparison because we're not even thinking about it.
No, because we're living our life on purpose. We know, like, and it just forms part of our purpose. You know, I was reminded in all of this, it's funny how the mind just keeps wandering, and I was reminded in all of this that our purpose isn't one thing that we do. It's what we're doing, our whole way of living, our whole way of being. And well, so that book is one of those
things. And I think that is the amazing topic for next time. So
let's do it.
So stay tuned if you want to know more about purpose and how to kind of define purpose more, then we'd love you to join us next week. So as far as living brave, strong, and fulfilled goes, I think today's big takeaway is, you don't need to compete or compare with anybody else. Yeah,
fabulous. Thanks for letting me share, Catherine. It was really great.
Elle, thank you for being vulnerable and sharing with us today. And so also we look forward to down the track letting you know when Ellie's book is ready. When it will be available. And Elle, we're all behind you and we'll keep you accountable. You. Rooting for you to release your book.
Yeah, I'll keep you all posted. Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.